God we serve. My, my, my. Our message this morning is God is our confidence. God is our confidence. Living in the world today with its ups and downs, many will lose their confidence to achieve their dreams and desires. The enemy will always be lurking about, seeking who he can destroy. Philippians 4:13 tells us, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, God has a will for his children to do. God wants his children to be obedient to whatever his general will is for all of us and what his specific will for us as individuals. But we have a force that's against us, the world, the devil, and our flesh. They fight us tooth and nail every day. But here's the thing, what we have to realize, it fights us to do opposite from what God wants us to do. And many a times, the flesh is trying to turn me away from the will of God. The devil is trying to turn me away from the will of God. And the world system is trying to turn me away from the will of God. Now, I got to realize that I live in the world. So the world system is going to have influence upon me because God, all he did for me was he saved me, he insulated me, but he didn't isolate me. So that means that I got to live in this same world. Come on, somebody. But at the same time, God is our confident. But watch this. If those enemies are fighting me 24/7, and I don't ever use my strength against the enemy, well, the enemy is going to turn me towards its agenda. And I'm going to find myself doing the agenda of the big three and not the agenda of God himself. And a lot of that is because we have lost our confidence. You see, no confidence says, I cannot do it. A loss of confidence says, it is too hard for me. I want to do it, but it's too hard for me. Loss of confidence says that which is against me is greater than that which is in me. You see, we know that the Bible says greater than he that's in you than he that's in the world. Am I true there? But you got to see this. This is what people don't tell you. We know as Christians that is true. All right? But what folk don't tell you, if I lose my confidence in my power, I'm going to act as though I have no power. Huh? So sometimes we can be busy telling people of what you have and you forget. It's not that they don't have it if they've been born again. Because the Bible says that if you do not have the Spirit of God living in you, you are none of his. So in other words, you cannot say, I am a Christian, I have been born again, but I don't have the Holy Ghost yet. Because he has already declared from the Word of God, if you have not the Holy Spirit of God, you cannot say you are his. All right? Now on the other hand, if you are truly his, you have the power in you that raised up Christ from the dead. So what lacketh you is confidence. See, a lot of times, folk, see, you get a guy that's full of confidence. Oh, man, even in the world. Hey, Daddy, even when we was on in Broadline on the park, and, you know, shooting the basketball, you get a guy, Now this guy, he can't really fight, but he got a lot of confidence. So he jump in anyway. Now sometimes they may get beat up, but sometimes because folk know his confidence, they back off of him. Now another guy, may he can fight, but he has no confidence. So a lot of times the enemy seeks to take your confidence away. See, a lot of times you got everything you need right in your house, but you ain't got no confidence of what you got. You act like you are poor. You act like you don't have anything. You act like you not even being loved, and you got the greatest love right in your home. Other than Christ, your parents love you with a passion. But if you don't have the confidence, you are seeking another. So it's more than what you got. Do you have confidence in what you got? See, the thing I know about my God, he can give you a little bit. When he sees that you got so much confidence that you use that little bit you got, it ain't going to be long. He going to give you a little bit more. Come on, somebody. Have you been there? Hey, look like you're going to lose everything. Look like I had. But you know what? I ain't lost my confidence. Oh. And there's a song that goes a little bit like that, that I told Brother New West, man, you got to, I think it's by the Hawkins or somebody, that he's gonna get that song right, because you gotta sing it. And she'll, I think, it sound like your lead. You may have to lead that. Said, I lost a lot of things. I lost people, I lost money, I lost a whole lot of things, but I haven't lost my hope. Huh? So here's the thing, you know, sometimes, we have been talking to people about all of the Word of God and all of this and all of this, and you didn't pick up on it. Those things are very good that you were saying, but it's something that you are missing. See, God says watch as well as pray. Now, I'm going to tell you something. We put a lot of emphasis on prayer, don't we? And you should. You should. I'm not saying that. But we put too little confidence, too little emphasis on watching. Because if you're not careful, you are praying about things you think is going on around you. But when you watch, God will give you discernment. Come on, somebody. God will give you, he will speak to your heart, give you discernment, say, wait a minute, something happened right around me, and I got it. And see, sometimes what we do, we wait for everybody else to get it. So we let what God have given us lay dormant. Because we in our minds have said, if they didn't get it, evidently it won't out there. It must just be something in my imagination. Yes, it happened, but God was speaking to you. Personally. And sometimes we won't respond because we're looking for somebody else to do it. Sometimes we won't respond because we are scared. Even when God said, I place it on your heart because I got your back. I want to do it, but I want to use your hands. I want to use your mouth. I want to use your influence that you have. But I'm scared. God, I like how you use Sister So-and-so. Thank God for Sister So-and-so. I like, God, how you use Brother So-and-so. Thank God for Brother So-and-so. God, oh, they do so good when you use them. But God say, this day, I want to use you. One thing I know about God, he can count. He know everyone that belong to him. You remember that was a 10 leopards that he healed one. He healed one and then he healed all of them. How many did it? So he can count, can't he? And Jesus let you know, Brother Ricks, that he could count. He said, one came back to me.
But I bless nine more. God said, I can count.
Let me tell you something. Every one of us, God have blessed. Young, old, middle-aged, teenager, God have blessed you. And the only reason you and I is living today is because of the grace of God. And when we begin to take advantage of every day with his new mercies, I believe God would extend your life. You know, I was saddened when they found that young girl from college and they did the DNA test and found out it was her. And the mama was looking for and everything, just home for spring break or something. She didn't come home to die. She came back home from college hard, working and getting her education, and not knowing, pretty girl. Not knowing, not looking for the enemy that would snatch her out of this life. Her academic a major was to help her with her vocation in this life, that she can better herself. That she can get the finances that she needs, and that she can live a productive life. But the enemies, I'm telling you, want to destroy you. They don't care nothing about your desires. He don't care nothing about God's desires for you. So when you think about that young girl, you sitting here and you and your, well, that ain't about this, but the old people. No. She was young, vibrant, going somewhere in this life, had goals and plans. And yet the enemy said, I want your life. I want to protect you on the spiritual side. I am that watchman of your soul, given a commission by God to take the oversight. You know, that don't mean nothing to some of the saints. But I'm going to tell you something. If you don't begin to dot some of those I's in the Word of God and cross some of those T's in the Word of God just to know what they mean, you're going to miss out on it. And you're going to believe your own hype. But you know what it takes? Oh, let me move on this morning. I tell you. Confidence. Well, you know what? My theme is God is our confidence. Let's look into the Word of God and see how God is our confidence. First of all, number one, God is our confidence because God is our helper. God is our helper. Hebrews 13, 5 through 6 says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Okay? I like this. That's one thing that God tells me, that he will never leave me, nor will he forsake me. And I know, God, you're big and bad, strong, you know everything, you're omnipotent. I know all that about you, and I'm glad to know you won't leave me or forsake me. But I like this in the next verse. He said, there's a reason I won't leave you or I won't forsake you. He says, so we may boldly say. See, boldness speaks of confidence. You don't have to be timid when God got your back. Huh? You don't have to be a weakling when you're standing on the promises of God. When you realize what God had promised you. I like to say this, you know, they had the group, the promise keepers. You know, man can make you a promise and he can lie to you, can't he? He can make you a promise and not keep the promise. And not that he wanted to lie to you. He wanted to do what he said he was going to do, but he didn't have the enablement to do what he had promised. Huh? All right? Or he may have forgotten what he had promised. See, we can go on and on and find out the reason why you didn't receive the promise. See, because men have some inabilities. But when God promised you, there's nothing in heaven nor on earth that has the authority to stop the hand of God. When God is with you, who can be against you? God said, but you got to have confidence in me. All of this strength, all of this power, if you don't appropriate it, it does you no good. Watch the people who appropriate this thing. You may think they're crazy. What they're doing, they're pulling blessings down from heaven right in your face, and you're not even noticing it. The difference in you and them, they believe God. They believe what he said. They believe I have no need to fear because I got the biggest and the baddest with me. He said, I'm with you. I'm not forsaking you so you can become bold, not arrogant. Let's get this thing straight. God's not talking about his people being arrogant. But he says, your confidence level is so high that you got a little boldness to you. Now, you know, manipulating humility and boldness and not having it confused for arrogance. But when people see the love of God in you, it has a way when they see the love of God being portrayed through you. It has a way to give them a good glimpse of humility, power, under control of the Holy Spirit. But yet you're giving way to the Holy Spirit when he wants to teach through you to his people. Confidence. See, we ought to be building up one another. It's called edifying the believer. Are you with me? And so this is a message of edifying. So when God says, see, sometimes you can have a task before you, a test, or a school you're trying to get into, writing your papers and want to get in, or whatever it may be. And you're doing all this on your own. Then the person beside you, they may not even be as smart as you are. But they realize they don't have to fill out their papers or make phone calls or get in contact with who's who. They're talking to God and filling out the paper. They're talking to God and getting good grades. I don't mean no harm. They got somebody with them you ain't got with you. And then you can tell him, say, you know, God, I heard that message Sunday. And God, there are some things I don't have the confidence. You know what I mean? I needed to hear that. I don't care what the other people didn't need to hear that. Maybe they got a lot of confidence. But what I'm about to get involved with, I need you with me. God, and by the way, when I stand before these people going to make a decision, I need to stand boldly. I need to let them know you're going to miss it if you don't accept me in here. I'm not going to do it arrogantly, but they're going to know, what is it about that? Did you see that last one we interviewed? Now, looking at the grade point average, I look at those, but it was something about that last one that came for this job. I mean, they line up. By the way, the other one may have a little bit more experience. May have taken the right courses. How did they get in? And nobody ever told you that when they went in the interview room, they didn't go by themselves. They knew there was somebody that was with them.
Somebody that would never leave them. When they got in the car and were driving, they put their clothes on and got themselves together, got their nails done, their hair fixed, and the makeup just right, and they're dressed for success. But they kept looking, all right, God, I know you're there with me all the way. They're talking to God. And you just going on your own by yourself. So when they walk in the door, they say, God, whoo, my confidence, not because of my abilities, but because of yours. See, I don't care who you are, you ain't God. It ain't but one God. He's the only sovereign one. And he is saying, I'm with you. But you know what my confidence say? And that's how I go through life limping. You know, it's a dangerous thing, it's a pitiful thing to see a bona fide Christian go through life limping. Now, I'm telling you what I know. Man, I didn't like to speak before people. I was a quiet person. You know, I did what I did, but I had no idea about being no preacher. I didn't have no desire to be no preacher. Got to speak all the time. People invite me to their retirements and all kind of stuff. And you know, you go in and, you know, then I got to, I mean, Lord, I thanks for being saved, but put me in a corner. I want to be like everybody else, ain't got to do nothing. You know, you're saved though. You know what I mean? You're saved. Huh? You're still going to heaven. But dude, I love God, I can't do that. He said, Moses, who made your mouth? So you're on holy ground. So I had to, with all my fears and all those things and all of those inabilities that I have, God says, you know, if you keep majoring on your inabilities, you will never major on your abilities in me. He said, I'm not worried about your, see, I chose you. You didn't choose me. And so the confidence that I have, it ain't mine. It's not Pastor Rick's. It's the Lord. So when God tell me something, I'm just crazy enough, like Sister Drew said. So one thing I like about you, Pastor Rick, I've been watching you since you came here to Calvary. He said, but I watched you over the years, son. There's one of them old war horses going with the Lord now. He said, but I watched you outgrow me. I said, what you mean, Sister Drew? She said, no, I watched you the day you came with that shop skin suit and a brim hat and that Mach 5. I said, you watched all that? Yeah, I watched a slicker when you come in here. I said, that's all I had when I got saved. The same clothes I had, that's what I had. So I'm coming to church. That was the best that I had. She said, but I watched you because, you know, we had people come and go. We seen the mess. We didn't think you were hanging around long. She said, but we watched. We had our eyes on you. The mothers and everything. We watched. But we noticed something about you. You were like a bulldog. You didn't turn around. You didn't care if anybody go with you. You went anyway. Because I've never found a friend like Jesus. The things Christ have done for me, that's why I don't mind helping people if I can. I don't mind helping. You know, please don't take me wrong, what I'm about to say, and don't take me as boasting. I've given away 2 cars to help people in my time of being saved. I've given the key to my house so folk will have people, places to stay. Not for show or fashion, because it was the will of God at that time. We have more funerals we've done. They were not non-members ever since this church been started, but they asked for help, and we opened up the doors. Not saying this to brag, but to let you know God has been good to this church. New Berean, you need to know how good God has been to this local assembly. I could tell you miracle after miracle at this place.
But I'm not going to go through all that. Reason I said that little bit, I want to elevate your confidence in the Lord. I'm trying to elevate it a little bit. Don't settle for where it is right now. Because some things God going to ask you to do, you ain't going to do it because your confidence level is not where it should be. So therefore, you figure you shouldn't perform. I'm going to tell you something. God can get your confidence to a point you looking to perform. You looking where you can be used by God. Because you want to just test it out. Have you ever been there? I want to test it out. I didn't know my son could sing for all those years. I'm up there looking when he got up there. This guy can't sing. He never sung around the house. Where is this coming from? Well, let me move on. He knows what I'm talking about. Okay. So we see that he's our helper. Do you see that? He said, I will never leave you and all that. Forsake you so we may boldly say what? The Lord is my what? Helper. I will what? I will not fear. What can man do to me? Now, that individual is speaking with confidence. You see, fear say man can do a lot to me. But confidence say he can only do what God allow him to do. Come on, somebody. Huh? See, the power that Satan have is allotted power, y'all. And if you don't believe that, go read the book of Job. If you think I'm lying, read the book of Job. In the book of Job, in the first chapter, you see Satan speaking to God. And in a sense, it's like God put Satan on Job. What are you doing, man? You know, I'm doing my thing down here. You know, doing my thing, trying to destroy everybody I can. Have you considered Job? And then God started bragging on him. Satan said, wait a minute, God. Now, I'm big and I'm bad, but I'm not big and bad than you. Because if I was, I would have took heaven. That's what I wanted. I wanted God, but you kicked me out of here. But let me tell you something about your servant Job. The guy is serving you because you're blessing him. Have you ever heard that in the Christian realm? Yeah, if you're blessing me like he blessing you, I'll serve him. I got news for you. There's a lot of people God is blessing that's not serving the Lord. There's a lot of rich people not serving the Lord, y'all. Some not even saved. And they say, well, why do I need that? I don't need a crutch. You folk who love the Lord Jesus, you folk who want to embrace him, you folk who want to follow him, mimic him, because you need a crutch. Money can buy me everything, but God said, what profit a man to gain the world and all of his money, gold and silver, and lose his soul? Now, I got to determine, am I going to believe God? Am I going to believe what I see? But God said, the just shall live by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So you got to believe God is. And that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. See, I'm diligently seeking God and I'm getting my rewards. Have God ever rewarded you? Some of you ain't got no business having a good family like you got. But God rewarded you. Some of you done had so many breaks. Whew, that was God. Some of you have been operating in mercy for years. That was God. Some of you have received the grace of God over, over, and over. Not only you receive, your children receive, grandchildren receive it. That was not you. That's the grace of God. And see, sometimes when you're even in the valley of despair, God got to hold your hand. So you don't get away. Because see, sometimes folks say, wait a minute, it's going to be better tomorrow. Huh? Some will tell you, joy come in the morning. But I got a long night. I have a long night of misery a long night of sorrow, a long night of frustration. If I don't make it through this long lifetime of darkness and this valley of despair, I mean, if I don't make it, I'm going to give up. I'm going to take my life. I'm going to end it right here. So it ain't all about the joy that's in the morning. There's somebody in the night holding your head so you can see the morning. Oh, that's confidence, y'all. So you can go in sometime and say, well, Pastor, you came in, you prayed for, but ain't nothing happening. Something is happening. See, right now, God is holding you. Right now, God got you where now you're talking to him more than you did when you didn't need him. You know how it is when we don't need somebody? Huh? Oh, I ain't got time for you. The thing that I got time, I need that. I'm sorry. You don't know what you need. If you say you don't need the Lord, something's wrong with you. You are being self-deceived. Oh, man. Am I making any sense? I just want to get your confidence up. Because I know some brothers will come right at you. The Lord said, just throw all that at you. And then the people walk away and say, but I ain't doing all that that you say the Lord could say. And they never looked at the person and said, wait a minute, let me change how I approach. Let me change how I speak. Let me season my words with salt. Let me have a preserving attitude rather than a destructive attitude. Even in my speech. Anybody with me? Because if you hold a person's hand when they're down and they can get back up on their feet, and when they're on their feet, they still probably can't walk, but you just gotta stay right there with them. And then now they begin to walk a little bit more. They don't mind going around people. Shame start going away. All that stuff start falling off because somebody was there. Somebody. Look, let me tell you something. Hold my hand. We'll walk together. And let me tell you why we should be willing to hold people's hand when their downfall comes. Because you don't know when yours is coming. God says, you guys who think you stand, oh, yeah. Oh, I stand. Shut up. Come on, man. Oh, I stand. You don't do nothing. It's the grace of God. And God can hold you up so long that you think it's you. God said, look out. Let me tell you something. You may think that's a little thing. The guy that's used to falling, getting back up, falling, it become a routine. But somebody who's not used to falling, they're used to standing. But God is warning that individual. He said, look out, man, because it's coming. It's gonna be a sneak attack. And it's going to knock you down. And here it is. Let me tell you something. You don't have to get knocked down yourself. But when you help people who have been knocked down, you show God that there is humility in your life. That you are more prepared when your knockdown day come, when you have helped other people, you have loved other people, you have said, look, I don't care who forsake you, I ain't going nowhere. Come on. Because you know what? If it had not been for the grace of God, that would have been me. And even worse. So all of this is to give your confidence back. It's nothing like losing your confidence and gaining it back. Anybody with me? I gotta go now. Y'all ain't gonna hold me all day. But okay, we see, because God is our helper, our confidence can be strengthened. Not only that, God is our rewarder, right? Still in Hebrews, let's go to chapter 10. 35 and 36, you're still in the same book. Go over to chapter 10, 35 to 36, and let's look at the word of God. It says, therefore, do not cast away your what? your confidence, okay, which has great reward. Your salvation have great reward. Your eternal life have great rewards. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Oh my God. You see, it says you have need of endurance. See, a lot of times living this Christian life, it's not a popular thing. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying going to church is not popular. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But living the Christian life that opposed the world system, and you decide with all the struggles that you have, but you decide, I want to live for Jesus. I want to act like Jesus as much as I can. And when I fall and I make mistakes, get out of fellowship with him, I don't linger out there, I get back. You follow what I'm saying? Quick, fast, in a hurry, I confess that thing, let him forgive me, because I got a mind to live. Watch this now. But the world is trying to say, forsake him, turn away. But look at what God says. God says, you need to endure. You need to endure. In order to endure, it's going to be hard for you to endure with no confidence. Are you with me? But God says you need to endure your faith. You know, there are people who have good friends and they want to live for the Lord. The friends don't want to live for the Lord. And you love them so much, you want to be popular with them and whatever. So you just give in. Not knowing God says there's a need to endure. Let me tell you something about endurance. Endurance is not easy. Enduring the faith, you ain't gonna be able to do it by yourself. But you don't have to do it by yourself. Somebody will say, Pastor, I don't have to do it by myself, because what you just showed me in Hebrews 13, 5 through 6, I got a helper. So if you have a problem in doing this walk, tell God about it. Huh? And see, I just want to be your helper. That's my assignment. So we see there's a reward that's coming. So I got a helper. I got rewards coming. It's amazing how God will give us a task, and then he say, I'll pay you for it. God will bless us, then he'll reward us for it. God said, if you diligently seek me, I'll reward you. Wait a minute. Shouldn't I just have created me? There's a void in my life without you. Shouldn't I just seek you without any payment? God says, let me tell you something. I choose to reward you. Because God said, I'm not calling a pleasure trip. I'm calling it endurance. So when a person says, it's hard trying to live for the Lord when you can't have no fun. I mean, it turns me off. I mean, if I die, if praise the Lord, if something happened to some crazy fool, kidnap me or do something to me and kill me, I want to go to heaven then. Yeah, I want that. But I don't want to live this life I got for no Jesus. Because the things that I want to do, I want to do. And I don't want Jesus blowing my high. And see, I think if I just leave this Jesus alone, he won't put my life on blast. So if I make people think I'm not associated, I'm not with him, I can do my thing and won't nobody say, hey, your daddy, God don't live like that. Your daddy, God, is not pleased with the way you're living before the unbeliever. Wait a minute, you look around. Who know my daddy? I mean, yeah, I'm saved, but I ain't told nobody I'm saved. I don't live like I'm saved. Where you get that from, talking about my daddy? But all of a sudden, something in you, go ahead, you're doing your thing. Whole lot of men are doing the thing. You turn around, though. Because they say, your daddy God. Now, you can say you turn around just see who that fool in here hollering out like that. Or you maybe turn around and say, you know what? I know something about the Lord. I've heard that crazy Pastor Rich preach all my life. But I don't pay him no mind. But they roll me in a box. I want Pastor Rich to preach my funeral. I want him to get me into heaven. Because I believe he will endure. Because I've watched him year after year after year. The crazy man is doing the same thing. I got witnesses. When I was a little boy, he was doing it. When I was a little girl, he was doing it. When mama brought me here as a baby, he was doing it. I come back, he's still doing the same thing. He must believe that stuff. I don't mean no harm. I don't want to settle no preacher who don't believe it. You can play with, we can play with anything, but don't play with my soul. See, well, no, I'm going to come to church. I'm going to give you a whole lot of stuff. I'm going to tickle your ears. I'm going to have you jump in the pews. I'm going to have, oh, but I ain't going to mention the name of Jesus. I want to just get right there and put the cookies on the shelf to let you know. Let you know. And then let you make your own decision. Let me tell you something. There are some things that God is holding for you. He said, I got some stuff, Pastor Rich, keep preaching like that. I got some stuff for those folk I can't release until they accept my word. But it don't belong to you, Pastor Rich. It don't belong to the other saint. It belongs to them. There are some blessings. I want to open up heaven. And I want to give them, but I can't give it to them out of fellowship. I can't give it to them like that. But it belonged to them. Matter of fact, some of the same things they desire, I got it. Not only do I have it, I got it in abundance. And I'm going to supply their needs according to my riches in glory. So, you know, sometimes a message will be just to you to unlock heaven to bless you. All of us have needs of whatever kind. Old, young, middle-aged, teenagers, we all got need. But, okay, they give you one more, then I'll be coming on off. So what you got so far for your confidence? God is your what? And God does what? And the next time he's your burden bearer, let's go over to 1 Peter 5. And if you look at 1 Peter 5, like I say, you that old crazy preacher, Pastor Ricks, if you start with verse 1 and you read right on down to 4, you'll see that old crazy Pastor Ricks in the Bible. I'm serious. But that's not where I want to deal with. But when I say things, I want you to be able to see. That's me. I'm an elder. You can call me Elder Ricks, Bishop Ricks, Pastor Ricks. All those words are interchangeable. Yeah, but now, let's go down to verse 5. But it's good for you to read this. I'm going to say, what are you doing to preach? Like, did God tell him to do that? God told me to take that oversight. Don't you know it's wrong if you don't take the oversight? I always ask, Peter, why are you? See, you know the genuine preachers. Everybody that Peter's speaking to here, they're genuine. Would you say? The Apostle Paul, the Holy Spirit, is talking to genuine elders. He said, feed the flock. Don't do it for money. Be examples. Isn't it amazing? You thank God telling the elder, the pastor, or bishop to be example to the flock. But he's telling the flock, don't follow. See, an example is something you follow. When I was doing machinist work, I was inside machinist by trade, we would get our blueprints and our specs, and everything had to be done according to code, and I had to make those things. But they weren't going to take my word that I went by code. It got to go to QA. They take all our work and ship it to QA because they didn't want none of them planes to come down to QA, and QA would check it. And sometimes they'll write you up if it's not according to specs. So they get the same specs, they got the same instruments, and they check that thing out. And then they want to know, well, I just thought I would do it this way. So you didn't follow the example, the blueprint. No, no, because I've done this before, man. I ain't need that. Well, you need a job now. You need that because you're going to lose this one. You see, so what I'm saying is when God says follow his example, that's why I don't want to set a bad example. I don't want to have an example that you, that's your pastor? Man, that guy's the worst drunk, running all kind of women. Everybody know it. He don't care. You don't care. Y'all act, that's an unsaved person now. Y'all act like, he done read the Bible, unsaved person. Y'all act like the Bible didn't tell him to be example to the flock. Wait a minute, man, where'd you get scripture from? No, I had to find something because I want to ridicule y'all so-called Christians. Then I'm going to cuss you out. God has a sense of humor. And at the same time, God is serious. Man. Okay, let's go. Let's go. Okay, I want you to see. Let me move to where we're going. 5 says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. Watch this. For what? I don't mean no harm. I ain't gonna humble myself to nobody. I ain't humble myself to my mama. I ain't humble myself to my daddy. I've been disrespectful since I've been a teenager. I cuss my mama, cuss my daddy. I talk to him like a natural born dog. So you know what I'm gonna do for y'all. She don't tell me what to do. He don't tell me what to do. I mean, I play the game. But after all, ain't no Bible told me to be clothed with no humility. Ain't nobody told me to humble myself. And by the way, as great as I am, as cute as I am, as handsome I am, whoo, I got more sense than mama, daddy, and granddaddy, and grandmama. Yeah, go to jail and see who you're calling. You get out, you can't get no job. See who you're going to stay with. You better hope they don't die while you're in there. Because a lot of your friends ain't going to take you in. Can we get real in the house? Oh, we know this, but we don't want to say this. They don't call y'all. So you look at me strange, they call me. And I hope I can preach enough they don't have to call me. But if you call me, I'm coming. Okay. But why should I do that? He said, God resists the proud, but he give grace to the humble. See, God says, if you submit yourselves, I got some grace I want to give you. Now, the thing I like about grace, grace contains things. Things come with grace. Mercy holds back a whipping that I need. Have mercy on me, don't whip me, God. Don't chastise me this time. He's okay, I'm gonna have mercy. But grace give you something, y'all. Grace always giving. Am I right about it? Grace always give. Grace says, okay, didn't I tell you wash them dishes? Didn't I tell you do your homework? Because you know you want to go to this, go out of town, and I got this, all this money for your hotels and that you have a good time. And by the way, I'm going to pay for when your friends to go. All that's in the workings. But you know what? I told you, if you did not do your homework, clean the house, wash the dishes, when the things you want from me, I'm not going to give them to you because you won't humble yourself to my leadership that God have placed me in to tell you to do this. You know, and then all of a sudden, they don't do all of that, and they come with those puppy dog eyes. Still want to go. I'm sorry. And you want them to go. That's why you promise I'll pay for it, because you want them to go too. But yet you said, how am I going to maneuver this? How am I going to get out of this? How am I going to get out of this? And then all of a sudden you says, okay, I'm not going to punish you. That's the whipping. That's mercy. Whew. Whew. The head of grace coming now. It's grace. go get your travel agents and plane and whatever. It's all paid for. Wait a minute. Did they deserve that? See, I like that. So somebody got into that illustration. They got in that. They were following Pastor Rick. I got one following me. I can tell your expression. You walk with me. He said, no. Well, watch this though. So what happened? What took place? What did we see? We saw mercy. And we saw grace. Huh? We saw mercy. We saw grace. That's our God. That's our God. Well, I don't understand God. Yeah, that's you. God says the secret things belong to him. He revealed that to who he will. But a lot of times we don't understand God's grace and mercy working in individual lives. Because you know what? We have a tendency. We don't want to say it. We know the meaning of grace. We know the meaning of mercy. But we think merit. We think you got to earn everything. We think you got to work for it. You call it grace and mercy, but in your mind, it's merit. You got to earn it, baby. And then a person receives something from the Lord, and you know they didn't earn. And you said, if anybody should have got that's me. I'm trying to be nice. They ain't God. And sometimes we'll go to God on somebody else that he done blessed. Come, can we get real? Hey, God, I'm trying. They ain't even trying. I can tell you everything they ain't doing. And God, by the way, some of the stuff they try to get me to do it, I wouldn't do it. But they got the trip. And God, by the way, here it is. You pouting and whatever, you walking, and then you step in a pothole and break your leg. It's God, this ain't right. This ain't right. See, the disobedient one leg should have been broke. They flying high. So do that make you want to be disobedient, think you'll be blessed by the Lord? See, Peter, and you go back, Peter said, God is not slack concerning his promise. See, some men will see the goodness of God and they'll think there's slackness. But God says, I wish no one to perish. I want to draw all men. You see, so a lot of things you see as God being slack with doing them in. You know, a lot of y'all want to call down fire on folk. You better watch calling fire down on some folk. Your house ought to be on fire. Okay, let's look at this burden bearer now. He says, okay, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Anybody here had to humble yourself under God at some time in your life? Just some event or something in your life. You ain't got to tell nobody. But it was something that you know and God know, and you may have fought it. And at some time, you know, the Holy Spirit told you not to do that, and you did it anyway. And then you got to come back and eat humble pie before God. Which I should have been eating humble pie before I did it. And then you go back and say, God, I need to humble myself under the Holy Spirit's power. Because sometimes the thing looks so juicy, it looks so good, and you, and okay, let me move on. Well, don't nobody know what I'm talking about. But y'all get cute in a minute, boy, and get, we impressing nobody in here. No. See, that this had to be relevant. If this old fogey and this Bible stories, you leave out here with that. But this is biblical instructions and biblical commands. It's the word of God. Okay. Thank you. Y'all ready to go to Golden Corral now? Let me let you go. He said, in the mighty hand of God, that he may what? Exalt you in due time. Here's another reward. Remember I told you, why God gonna pay us for obedience? I mean, that's just a word I use. You can use something else, that's okay. But right here, he said, you humble yourself under God, and in due time, he'll exalt you. So what God is saying, the prerequisite of being exalted by him is humbling yourself before him. Do you get it? See, there are some folk who want to be exalted in some positions, into some situations, in some marriages, and I can go on and on what you want to be exalted in. All right? But you're not willing to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Let me tell you something. Don't always look for a mysterious, mighty hand of God. God's gonna, his hand gonna come out of the clouds at night and lay on my bed right on top of me. And I'm sure I'm gonna humble. I'm gonna cower down. No, no. He chose this preaching that you are here. Faith comes by hearing and the word of God. Faith to humble yourself gonna come by hearing the word of God. He says through the crazy preacher is one of the ways. Well, I just don't believe in that. How you even knew? Oh, let me, Lord. Help me, Lord. But in five, he said, Rich, you preach, you do what you your part, and I got a crown for you. So I can't get in God's business, so I had to hold myself down. I want you to have it so bad. I want you to use it so bad. But anyway, he says, okay, be sober, be vigilant, because your what? Adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Also, verse 7 says, casting all your what? Upon who? For he what? He cares for you. Okay, seeking who he may devour. So Satan, if he's trying to drown me, to devour me as a lion, just eat me up, destroy me, he don't care nothing for me. He don't care for me. He said, now resist him steadfast in the faith. There it is. I'm trying to strengthen your faith because you're going to need your faith to resist the devil. You follow me? Resist him steadfast where? In the faith, knowing that the same suffering are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. We are going through the same things. I'm not getting no pass as the pastor. But I can't roll over to all the things I get hit with. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have what? Suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Oh, look at this, these things, these virtues that will build our confidence up. Watch this. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. My brothers and sisters, three attitudes are necessary for victorious Christian living and confidence. One, submission. Two, humility. And three, trust in God. That is why the enemy try hard to get us not to submit, not to be humble, not to humble ourselves, and not to trust in God. So what God is saying, I'm going to pull the rug out from him. If you want to take some notes in your life to be victorious in your Christian life, you take this preaching and go back home and you study the word of God. Because see, there are some things we must put off and some things we must put on. If we keep hearing the word of God and we're not willing to put that on and take off some things, it ain't going to do you no good. We will constantly keep living the same way we have been living. But God says, I have set it up. If you trust me, you can live victoriously in Jesus. How about it, y'all? Can we do it? Can we do all things that God has commanded us to do through Christ who give us the enablement? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you are here today and you say, you know, you got something you're thinking about as I was preaching that word, you know, you ain't got to tell nobody. Anybody gonna ask? But also there's some things that you may be fighting and going through. And you say, you know, my confidence, you know, you can have your confidence level high in some other things and very low in Christ. But if you say, I need my helper, for whatever reason, you ain't got to tell anybody. I need my spiritual rewards. I need to walk in victory. I'm tired of walking in defeat.